If not, I want to talk about a man just a minute by the name of Job. Y'all turn over there in the first chapter of Job. While you're turning, I want to, this man, I just kind of want to talk to you about it this morning. The first Job here, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about it. In the first chapter, in the first verse, and it says, there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. This man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. You know, the Bible taught and said that Job was perfect. You know, if we went out here today in most religious places and said that there was somebody that was perfect in the eyes of the Lord besides Jesus, they would be crazy. They would think that you was crazy, because the Bible tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That our righteousness is as filthy rags with the Lord. But I'm here to tell you today that God thought Job was perfect. Not because that he didn't sin. Not because that he lived a perfect life. But I believe that Job was saved. I believe Job had a testimony in a time and a place where he put all his trust in the Lord. And I'm here to tell you today that if you've been saved by the grace of God, that your inward man is perfect here this morning. That sin cannot get in there. That your inward man cannot sin anymore. That your inward man is perfect. And it goes on, it says that he was upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. What a man that was. What a man that was. I want to read on down, and it says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substances also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. It was so, this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, he had a lot of stuff, the Bible says. A lot of stuff that this world may look at and say, well, he's got a lot of money, or he's got a lot of treasure. But the Bible also goes down and says he was the greatest man of the East. I don't believe that he was the greatest man out of all men of the East because of what he had. You know, this world, they look upon the stuff that we see, this carnal stuff, this material stuff, and they put a price on a man. You can go to the bank right now, try to get a loan, and they'll put your net worth out there. How much stuff you owe? How much stuff you got in your possession, and that's your net worth. And they probably take that, and that's the greatest man of the East or the West. But honey, this man was the greatest man of the East because why? Because he was perfect. And he was upright, and one feared God and eschewed evil. That's why this man was the greatest man of the East. Now, I want to make a point here this morning before I get too far in this. You may say that Job here had some, lived in a different time. Lived in a different setting than we do here. And I want to make this point clear that God did nothing for Job for his talents, spiritual talents, or gave him stuff that he would not give us here today. There was nothing different about Job over there, and no telling when this was, than us here today in 2018. You know, God's still the same God as he was then, as he is now, and he will ever be. And honey, we're just the same human as Job is. Job sinned. Job went out of this world, did some stuff he shouldn't. Honey, but I believe that he had a willingness to serve the Lord and to do whatever the Lord wanted him to. Because why? Because he feared God. He knew the power of God and knew what God could do if he didn't do what the Lord wanted him to. And here this morning, I'm here to tell you that we, as a church, as a nation, need to fear God and need to do whatever it is that he would want us to do. I got one of these study Bibles, as they call it. It's got a lot of writing down here at the bottom that I really don't pay much attention to sometimes. But it made out a good point, and I'm going to read it. And it says down here, it says, and this indicates that Job had a consensual spiritual walk, not that he was sinless. You know, he wasn't sinless, he sinned, but he just walked with the Lord. He just walked with the Lord. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read what Satan and God, but you know, I'm going to paraphrase it here, but Satan come to God and ask God to take the hedge off of Job. You see, the Bible talks about, I'm going to read that just to make a point. In the 10th chapter, I believe, 10th verse, I think, 10th verse, 10th verse in the first chapter. And it says, "Has not thou made a hedge around him and about his house and about all he has on every side? That has blessed the work of his hands and his substances in the increase in the land." And God put a hedge around Job. And I believe here this morning that God will put a hedge around us. That God will put a hedge around us, that whatever the devil may try to throw at us, whatever the devil may try to put before us, that he won't have any effect at all. Because why? Because the Lord's around us. And not just, it's because he loves us and because we would be willing to do what he would want us to. Now I'm here to say, if you go out in this world and go so forth and try to do each and everything that God don't want you to do, he'll take that hedge away from you like he did Job here. And I want to read on down what the old devil did to old Job. What the devil did to old Job. In the 13th verse here, I'm going to start reading. And it says, "And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding behind them. And the Sabbaths fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet saying, there came another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up thy sheep and thy servants and consumed them, and I am the only one escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet saying, there came another saying, "The Shadassians came out thy bands and fell upon thy camels and have carried them away, yet, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped along to tell thee." And while he was yet saying, there came another and said, "Thy son and thy daughters are eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind out of the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the youngest men, and they are dead. And I am only escaped along to tell thee." Now a lot went on right here in these couple of verses. Honey, he lost pretty much everything that he owned in a couple seconds. Honey, the messengers came left and right and come and tell him, and what a tragic time that was for Job. You know, us today, if somebody would come and said all our daughters and all our sons had been dead, it was in a house, a great wind come and tore the house down, we would be sorrowful. We would go and try to save them and try to go to the hospital and try to do all this other stuff. But let me tell you what Job did. Job, it says in the 20th verse here, and it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return hither." And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishness. If it would have been me, and I would have been in Job's place, I would have been asking God, why me? Why have you done all this to me? Why have you took all my livestock and all my sons and daughters and all my household and all my servants? Why have you took all this away from me? You know, here today, if our hot water heater goes out at home, if our car breaks down, we say, why, God, why did you do that? Why did you let it go out? Why me? You know, but Job, he didn't do that. He fell upon the ground and worshiped the Lord. Amen. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. You know, anything that you've got here this morning, honey, any of the clothes we got on our back, the breath we got to breathe, it's all the Lord's. Amen. Honey, the strength we got to get out of bed this morning comes from the Lord. He can take it away just like that if we ain't careful. If we ain't careful. Honey, the church we come to and worship, we take that for granted sometimes. It's the Lord's. Lord can take it away. Lord gave it to us. He can take it away, Job said. Honey, we need to start thinking about that. Honey, How good we got it here today. We can get in the car and drive to some church and not be worried about if somebody's going to come through the door and kill us all here this morning. Honey, what a pleasure that is here this morning. Honey, but what if the Lord took it away? What if the Lord took it away? We need to be one more worried about what the Lord wants and less what this world thinks. You know, I told some people I was coming all the way up to Indiana to preach, and they said, why are you going all the way up here? There's churches down here that you can preach at. You know, it ain't about the money. It ain't about, honey, all this stuff. It ain't about knowing all these people. It's what the Lord wants to do. It's what the Lord wants to do. And you know, I started thinking about that there's people out there today that take up offerings in church and try to give tithes. And there's people that sit down and see how much they make out of the year and give so much to the church. I think it's 10%. Honey, but God wants 10% of your time too. Honey, I want to tell you here today that's like 2 hours and 20 minutes of your day given to the Lord. Honey, do we give that? Do we give all that we should to the Lord, honey, of our time? You know, the Bible says that Job walked continuously with the Lord. I believe that he, no matter what come before him, that he wanted to serve the Lord. Is that us here today? Are we being like Job? Honey, we got the power. We've got the God. We've got all the avenues that Job had to serve the Lord. We have, but more. But more. We've got this Bible. You say, Job talked to the Lord. And we can too. But we've also got this Bible before us. I believe that Job was before this Bible was ever created. It was in the works, but it hasn't been to the fullest as it's been right here. Honey, we do take some of this for granted sometimes. I want to turn right fast over here into Matthew. Very familiar scriptures. He's talking about Jesus here. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this should be all of our prayer here. He talks about Jesus went to this place called Gethsemane. Took his disciples and told his disciples to sit here. Wait till I come back. And took a couple more and told them to wait there. And he went a little farther by himself. He got off by himself. And here's what he said in the 39th verse of the 26th chapter of Matthew. And it says, and he went a little further and fell upon the face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. I'm going to read that again. Not as I will, but as thou will. You know, a lot of people, and me being one of them, honey, it's all about me sometimes. We go out here in this world and we try to work and try to gain something in life, and it's all about me. This whole world is just about me and about whoever it is. But sometimes we don't need to think about my will or your will, but the Lord's will. You know, we've got plans in life to go and to do things and to grow a big family and all this other stuff, but if it ain't the Lord's will, it'll be okay. Because I can assure you here this morning that God is still in control. That no matter what happens here in this life, no matter what persecution we may go through, no matter what trials and tribulation, God is still in control. God was still in control back there in Job's time. God's still in control now. And anything that God's done in this Bible, He can do for us now. Honey, He protected Job. He gave Job, put a hedge around him. He took that hedge off. Honey, He can put a hedge around us, but He can also take that hedge off and let the devil just go rampant with us. Honey, we need to fear God. The Bible says that to fear God is the beginning of knowledge, I think is what it says. Honey, that's what we need to do. People think, well, I'm smart. I can go out here and get me a big college degree and know all this stuff, but yet they don't fear God. You know, the smartest man in the Bible, the smartest man in the world was old David, right? Because he asked the Lord. He asked the Lord for knowledge. He knew where his strength comes from, and it's about time that us, as his people, know where our strength comes from. It don't come from us. Honey, there's nothing strength about us. It comes from God Almighty. Honey, that's who we need to worship here this morning. The Lord's own. Now turn back over to the day.